Do you not know that all of us who are baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in the newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. As far as I know, there is no secret handshake, and there are no keys to the executive holy washroom. Baptism leaves no visible mark upon our flesh, and it comes with no Mandela to wear upon our chest. It does not bestow worldly power or make us part of the cool kids club. It is not a golden ticket to a heavenly playground. And as Christians have proved for millennia, baptism does not automatically make us a good person. So what is it for? What is baptism for? Well, traditionally, and I would say primarily, it has been how one formally joins the church. And since the time of Constantine in Rome and Charlemagne in Europe, who are both instrumental in intertwining Christianity with empire, baptism was not just how one joins the church, but how one enters normal society, at least within the Western world. It even says in the 1940 United Church of Canada Statement of Faith that we believe that in baptism, men are made members of the Christian society. Just in that one sentence, we have faith and empire and patriarchy all mixed up together. But for most of our history as a modern church, that was normal. Baptism was normal. It was just what you did, mostly with children. Got to get the kid done, as it was often said. Baptism was expected, normative, taken for granted within a Christian society. But things are very different now, aren't they? Have you noticed how many baptisms we do here each year? It's not very many. The stats for baptisms for our denomination and presumably for other denominations have fallen off a cliff. I expect that line has gotten even steeper because of COVID. Ours is no longer a Christian society, and it is no longer normative to have children baptized. And even some families who are involved in church are choosing to not have their kids baptized so it can be a personal choice when they are older. In this time of religious plurality, individual freedom, and increased social and cultural mobility, what we are seeing right before our eyes is the disentangling of the Christian faith with so-called normal Western society. It is the disentangling from empire, and that is painful because it means change, and it is liberating because it means change. So at this historical hinge point for the church, we have this opportunity to ask afresh, what is baptism? What is baptism for? And for those of us who are baptized perhaps long ago within a different cultural expectation, we can ask what our baptism can mean for us now. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to be baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. There are different interpretations of what John was doing there on the banks of the Jordan, but I think the most compelling explanation is that he was doing the mikvah, a Jewish ritual cleansing by immersion in water. It was and still is a form of purification done on specific occasions and to signify a transition in life, but also when necessary, as John says, for repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And it is into this ritual of repentance and renewal that we first meet the fully grown Jesus. In an event so important to his story that his baptism is one of the few accounts that we find in all four Gospels. As we heard earlier from Matthew, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Matthew is very clear that Jesus does not need to be baptized. John even tries to talk him out of it, but Jesus says it must be done to fulfill all righteousness. This act is tied to tradition, but not in an obligatory, lifeless, spiritless way. This step into the waters is needed to reveal a deeper reality, a true identity. It is needed to fulfill a destiny. Matthew continues, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighted on him. And a voice from the heavens said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Water and Spirit and light and a heavenly voice, you can see why this event is so important. It is absolutely surrounded and filled with spiritual significance. This ritual that Jesus takes part in the Jordan River, this action that Jesus models for those who would come after him, is nothing less than the retelling of the first creation story found in the book of Genesis, where before time began, all there was watery chaos, and then the Spirit hovered over the depths, and then there was light, and then there was everything. And God said, it is all very good. This is what Jesus is revealing as he descends and rises in the Jordan River, that even out of the watery chaos, new life is possible in God's love. Or to put it another way, you can't get to new creation without being immersed in the depths of chaos. This is about transition and transformation. It is about change, which is both liberating and painful. Just as Jesus' baptism echoes the first moments of all creation, it also symbolizes and foreshadows the last days of his life. Betrayal, abandonment, suffering, death. You do not get to Easter Sunday without going through Good Friday. Do you not know, writes St. Paul, that all of us who are baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Baptized into his death. Baptized into death. I assure you that this is not an easy thing to explain to baptismal parents, especially if the expectations of a once Christian society still linger with them and they just want to get their kid done. Yes. Baptism is the way we formally join the church. Yes, it is the way we enter into the worldwide communion of Christ. But do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also might walk in the newness of life. This, I submit to you, is what baptism is really about. This is where the mystery and the power lie. Baptism is about intertwining our life, not with empire, not with what is expected or normal. It is about intertwining our life with Jesus and the journey he took from death into life, from the depths of chaos into a new creation. And where might this journey take us? Where might this lead those of us already on the baptism journey? In his book, Being Christian, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, says that when we are authentically living into our baptism, we will be found in the neighborhood of Jesus. And Jesus will be found in the neighborhood of human suffering. Jesus will be found alongside those in the most need. And so a baptized Christian will find themselves in those places where humanity is most at risk, most disordered, most disfigured. If being baptized is being led to where Jesus is, then being baptized is being led towards the chaos and neediness of a humanity that has forgotten its destiny. Its destiny to be beloved children of the God who calls all creation good. Too often we forget. We forget that there is a heavenly voice calling out to us with love. It is so easy to forget because the other voices can sound so much louder, more urgent, more in our heads. The voices that say we are not successful enough or smart enough, that we need to work more and play less, that we are too fat and too skinny, too young, too old, too different, that we don't fit in, that we don't measure up. The voices that say we are defined by our failures, by our sins, that we are not worthy of love. In the depths of chaos, sometimes God's voice gets drowned out and we get tempted to forget who we are and what we are here to do. To be a baptized Christian means to encounter the suffering within the world and within ourselves. We can't get to Easter Sunday without going through Good Friday, but also to trust that suffering and even death do not get the final word. Chaos is not the final answer to the question of creation. The prophet Isaiah wrote the passage that Jerry read earlier for the Israelite people who had encountered the chaos of exile at the hands of the Babylonian Empire. Decades had passed away from their homeland and traditions, and the people had forgotten who they were and whose they were. So God sends the prophet saying, "I have chosen you and have not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you." Through the prophet, God promises that the chaos and suffering of exile will not last. They will go home. They will be restored to wholeness. But not, and this is the key, not to simply restore the previous status quo, the previous normal where greed and oppression were rampant and traditions designed to bring people closer to God had become spiritless and lifeless. No, something new was required. A new kind of power was needed. A different kind of strength was expected. God names the whole nation, all the people, God's servant, and proclaims, "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I've put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift his voice or make it heard in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench." Being restored to wholeness and modeling the new life for all the nations of the world is to be done without shouting or breaking or quenching. The servant of God, who is to be all children of God, protects what is weak until it is strong enough to stand. A child of God keeps gentle hands cupped around a barely flickering flame until it can burn brightly on its own. When Jesus rises from the waters of the Jordan, he enters into a ministry saturated with this vision, a vision he modeled for those who would come after him, a vision of humanity awake to its destiny, guided by mercy and tenderness and gentleness. A bruised reed he will not break, a dimly burning wick he will not quench. This is not normal. In days defined by greed and selfishness and the lust for power, this is not normal. In a culture intertwined with the new empires of technology and consumption and celebrity, this is not normal. Our texts today affirm that a new creation is possible, but only by encountering and moving through the chaos of suffering and to hold faith to God's promise of love and support. This is liberating, and it is painful, but it is not something we need to do alone. Through our baptism, we join the worldwide communion of Christ, where we pledge to love and to support each other. at this historical hinge point for the church. When we are led to ask, what is baptism for? Perhaps the better question is, what are people for? What are you for? To be another foot soldier in the empire of normal? To simply be a consumer and a data point for the algorithms? Or are you here for something else? Are you here to be in the neighborhood of Jesus and to journey beside him as he journeys beside all those who suffer? And as the winds of chaos rage around us, are you here to gently cup your hands around all that is vulnerable and lonely and scared? As you seek to answer this question for yourself, I wonder which voices you will listen to. The voices of judgment and self-critique and a culture that seeks to strip the spirit out of everything, or the voice of God. As Jesus did there on the banks of the Jordan River, can you hear the voice of God that calls out to each of us, our true identity, our real destiny? Can you hear the voice that calls out with divine tenderness? You are my chosen, in whom my soul delights. You are my child, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased.